Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come on.
Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
The people who have been divorced in the room laugh.
Oh, boy.
Dave and Mahoney.
At any moment.
You didn't have anything when you got married. That's a prenup.
Yeah. I got a 2013 Toyota Avalon.
Yeah, she's
now.
Coming for that.
All right.
And now,
this is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends. Thank you for joining us. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news.
Yeah, some bad news. You'd think this would be good news, but I think it's far more dangerous the way that this guy chose to do it than it needed to be. Some guy was driving down an Oregon interstate, and he decided that he was going to throw an estimated $200,000 in cash out of the driver's side window.
Making it rain?
Yeah, so the Oregon State Police said that Colin Davis McCarthy, 38, threw the cash out of his window on I-5. He told officers that he was, quote, doing well and wanted to bless others with gifts of money.
If you've got one of those fancy new cars with the rain-sensing windshield wipers, if all the ones start hitting your windshield, do you think they turn
automatically
on?
Gone, yeah. Yeah, that's
he
how
is
it works.
Technically
yeah,
making it rain.
It has detected rain.
Why is this bad news?
Well, because he threw it out of the window on the interstate, and it's incredibly dangerous, so all these morons are getting out of their car on the I-5 trying to pick up money.
You act like you wouldn't.
I
Not
know.
On the highway.
I would.
Not
on the highway?
No. Highway now.
If they're hundreds. If
nah.
they're ones, nah. If they're hundreds.
Do we
yeah.
know what the denomination of these bills were?
They were hundreds.
I'm getting
it's
out.
200.
I feel like that's I feel like that goes real quick. If you're just driving down the highway, like I feel like you should have gone ones.
I mean, that's
if you're
still,
gonna throw 200,000, that's only 2,000 was that 2,000 bills?
Yeah. That's
not that much.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, $200,000, a lot of money. But 2,000 versus 200,000, you could have really could have turned this into a bigger spectacle.
See, but Mahoney, these are commuters. These are people who could use some gas money. At the least, I'm sticking my hand out of the window.
I appreciate
taking my shirt off and like a sail.
I appreciate the larger bill denomination.
Yeah,
I certainly do.
Much more efficient.
But, I mean, if we're talking pure spectacle here,
This did seem there could be something nefarious going on. Like, why does this guy have $200,000 to throw out of the window of his car?
Uh-huh.
Turns out the money is believed to actually have come from the family's shared bank account. They're saying that he could be cited for littering and creating a hazard on the highway, but they haven't decided to charge him with anything just yet.
I love how you said he was trying to do this out of a charitable donation, just like to,
wanted to
the
bless
people,
others with
bless
the gift of money.
You couldn't have just like done that on like your and gone to the side of your city that's like
or
less
just
traveled.
Like, he hit a GoFundMe or something.
Yeah.
Go to a 501c3 and hook them up. I mean, at least it's tax deductible then. I don't know. It seems weird.
Yeah.
So this is some good news today. Love when good things happen to good people. A Lakeland, Florida mom's persistence at a gas station landed her a winning lottery ticket. She said the gas station clerk thought that there were no tickets left. She asked to double check because she liked the crossword games the best, and there was one left after completing the prize. She won $2 million on the bonus scratch word scratch off. The day before, her daughter had just beaten cancer.
Oh, okay.
Right. So her daughter said, the day before my mom bought this ticket, I rang the bell and walked out of the hospital after completing my last treatment for breast cancer. My mom had taken out her life savings to take care of me when I was sick. I'm just so happy for her.
How much did she end up winning?
$2 million.
Ooh.
So she had just spent her whole life savings.
Wow.
She had saved her daughter's life effectively as a result of it. And then the next day wins $2 million.
If you do not believe in karma, I mean, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So, Audrey, you have been trying to figure out the way of your new apartment building. And when I say that, I mean, like, how people act, what's going on every single weekend, stuff like that. It's just kind of, you move into a new place and you're like, I have a lot to learn. You're trying to make new friends. It's kind of emotionally exhausting.
Right.
But you had an opportunity this weekend. And you totally blew it.
I totally blew it, dude. Okay, so just with life and you know, just life changes, being a 31-year-old attempting to make friends is just kind of weird in general.
Yeah.
And so I've been trying to kind of talk to everybody as I'm going through like Target, like complimenting like girls' leggings or talking to cashiers and, you know, just walking through just general day-to-day places and having conversations with strangers. And like you said, Dave, I blew it because there was a party happening right downstairs where I could have had just, it would have been like shooting fish in a barrel. So like I could have had so many conversations
at
in
your
one
apartment
sitting.
Complex, they had a party, like a pool party sort of thing?
A pool party. Some girl's birthday, I guess. Like it might have been.
Did you get invited to it?
Dave.
So you didn't get invited to it. There was just a pool party going on for somebody's birthday and then you were going to go
it's
to it?
It's a community pool.
Ah, that's different. I thought you got invited
Dave,
to the pool party.
Dave, it's not
party.
A clubhouse. Like it's not like if I were to live in a, like a neighborhood and there was a complex or like a clubhouse where you rent the clubhouse out. Like this is just a community pool.
Yeah.
And I noticed other people
there are community pools at, you know, apartment complexes that traditionally will have like mixers and stuff like that, especially when it's like a cool one like where you live.
So they also had a mixer the day before.
So there'll be more.
Yes.
Okay. So,
but to your point, no, I didn't get an invite, Dave. Thanks for rubbing it in.
It's, I mean, it just kind of would be really
but
weird
also,
if you showed up at the Nancy's pool party and they're like, oh, how do you know? And then you start lying. Oh, you know,
it's everyone's pool
together.
In the complex. It's not just for that party.
Kind of feels
clearly,
like it was her
party. You are out of touch with the rental community, Dave. You've
okay.
been a homeowner for so long.
So long
you don't
yeah.
understand what it's like to be me. No, but I did notice that were some people who were like from the apartment complex who were down there, and I think that they probably just chimed in on the fun because usually you only get like one or two guests per person that lives there.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
And there was like 30 people down there.
Do you feel like there's any hot leads when it comes to potential friends in your new building?
I haven't really talked to that many people.
So let me ask you this, though. Again, it's been a minute since I've lived in an apartment. I've been my wife and I have lived in a house for the last 14 years. So, but if I think the rules apply to the neighborhoods as they do apartments, like, isn't that kind of risky? Because if they suck, or like, you know, because you don't necessarily get a great read on somebody the first time you start hanging out, and then they are right there all the time.
Right, that's true.
Same reason you never date somebody in your own building or in your neighborhood.
Oof.
Like the people who are having affairs
with a person next door. You're
yeah.
like, what are you doing?
This
is not going to last, you idiot.
What?
This is not going to end well for anyone.
Like the one, like outside of, you know, the work thing, fine. Could be good, could be bad. You know, I think what they say, something like 30% of relationships start
That's
at work.
Totally different, though. Because you can quit and get a new job. You can't quit and get a new house.
In this market
easily,
right
no.
now, interest rates, the
no,
way it's there.
Good Lord.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney. Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
And leave a...
leave a message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
How's it going? Disclaimer, my name's Nick. I was just wondering, how much caffeine do you think you've taken in more than the recommended amount? The recommended amount per day is about 400 milligrams. Have you ever had way over the recommended amount? And if so, how has that affected your life?
Message deleted.
Okay, that was far deeper than I think it needed to be. But I think I over-caffeinate myself every single day, and it doesn't affect me. I wish it did.
Because you're addicted.
That is probably right. But, I mean, Mahoney, we've talked about this before. Like, I could slam a double espresso and go right to sleep.
So, same.
The question is, can you go throughout your life without it?
No.
Okay,
I can't.
Or maybe I can, but why would I want to?
Because some people get headaches.
Over the weekend, I had no coffee. My wife was in town. I had no coffee. All of that. Like, so it was fine.
Because she's your natural
but
energy.
But a day like today, like where we're doing the show, I've got a 30-ounce tumbler full of coffee, and then I have another 20-ounce tumbler.
Reserves, just in case,
That I end up filling up. So it's like 50 ounces of coffee that I have every day. But I don't feel like I drink it because I need the energy. I feel like I drink it because I just like to drink something.
Yeah, like the
warmth
of it.
And I like the flavor of coffee.
And you've turned the corner. You're drinking your coffee black now.
Just black. Yeah. I mean, I think when I first started, like, 10, 15 years ago, I would go with like a white chocolate mocha. But even that right now, the thought of all that sugar, it's just too sweet for me.
Yeah.
You guys are ridiculous. I have to have coffee. I will be a raging, unpleasant person to be around if I don't drink it. And in college, to answer this guy's question, that was probably the most caffeinated I've ever been. So I was working like 80 to 90 hours a week. And also, I was a bartender, so I was doing things called pipe bombs. And we would take a Red Bull and cut a hole in it, dump a little out, put a like a shot of something, your liquor of choice, and then you shotgun it. So I was just shotgunning Red Bull. So I was really caffeinated.
Those were healthy years.
In my 20s.
Yeah. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi, this is Animal. I have a comment and question. So the comment part is, I think it's disgusting, like you guys are talking about the snot rocket guy, especially when major league pitchers do it on television. Also, why can't they just use a napkin? Thanks, guys. Love your show.
Message.
I mean, do major league pitchers have napkins on call?
A hanky. They should have a little handkerchief.
As far as professional athletes go, Major League Baseball players definitely have to be the most gross, right? I mean, I love baseball and it doesn't really bother me, but like as far as per capita, dude chewing on things, adjusting their nuts, all of it constantly on TV.
It's the pants are very tight, Dave.
The butts.
Is it not possible to step up to the plate without grabbing your nuts?
You gotta get yourself adjusted, man.
Get yourself ready.
I mean, trying to hit a round object with a cylinder coming at you at 90 plus miles an hour. Not easy.
I'm not arguing that baseball is easy. I'm just like, is it possible to hit a ball without touching yours first?
No.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm totally okay and pretty much agree with the idea that aliens exist. I even think like Bigfoot exists, but I've been hearing a lot about fairies lately and I could draw the line somewhere. There are no such thing as fairies.
Message deleted.
I wish fairies did exist, like the fairies like we had on Legend of Zelda. That, you know, you just meet a fairy and then all of a sudden all of your energy is just revitalized by just touching it.
See, that's a lot safer bet than Tinkerbell, who was horny and murderous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably
that's
right.
That's a pixie. Isn't
They're different than fairies? Pixies are different than fairies?
Mm-hmm. Are you sure she's a pixie and not
a
fairy?
She was a pixie.
Well, it's pixie dust. We know that. So, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Are all pixies?
Or is this not fairy dust?
I don't know. I thought it was something pixie dust. I don't know. Either way, they're both evil. Pixies and fairies in mythology are both evil.
Guys, according to the Googles, Tinkerbell from Peter Pan is a spirited fairy, but to confuse things, she is from Pixie Hollow. So I think they're probably like interchangeable.
That's too complex and confusing. Cancel her.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
So Mahoney, I'm curious how you would describe my 4-year-old daughter, Olivia.
You know, she's your middle child. She's your middle girl. And she is a brawler, man.
She is a brawler. She is violent with my son. Not with the baby, which is good, but with my two almost 3-year-old sons, she will just grab him by the head and throw him to the ground.
She gives like roller derby energy.
But she's also very outspoken. So we're still at that point in life, and I think most parents can probably relate to this, where the kids will find their way into your bed throughout the course of the night, where they'll, you know, they go to bed in their own bed, but then they wake up and they'll come into our bed. And so the two older girls, Sienna, who's 7, Olivia, who's 4, will end up sleeping in bed with us, and it's a lot. It's super disruptive, but I also know it's for like a limited amount of time, and that when those days are gone.
I love how you say a limited amount of time, like
7 years,
10 years.
Yeah, what?
Yeah,
that is kind of the norm that I hear. Right, is like about 10 years old, they're kind of like, all right, we're done.
Not even that, but you've got, you know, your youngest daughter who just turned 1, so maybe a 20-year span.
Yeah, it's great.
Also, you're like really kind enough to just like consider that, because I feel that some parents would just be like, absolutely not.
Yeah, well, that's how my parents were. I mean, there are 6 kids in my family, though. I understand why. There was just never any possibility of, like, go wander into mom and dad's room. No way.
I don't think I did. I was an only child, and I don't think I did that a lot.
No, my mom literally would make spooky noises in the dark. Like, she said she would hear me in my little diaper butt walking towards the bed, and she would start going,
oh my God. That's trauma,
to make
man.
You need to go back to bed.
Also hilarious. So
I'm terrified of the dark.
This weekend I wake up and the two older girls, as usual, have, you know, found their way into the bed or whatever. But it's really sweet. But you know, like everyone's kind of waking up together on Saturday morning. And Olivia, again, very outspoken, looks at me and goes, "Daddy, what's that smell?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Is that your breath?" I'm like, maybe I just woke up. She goes, "Or is that your butt?" I'm like, "It's not my butt. I did not fart." And she goes, "Oh, is it your whole body?" I'm like, breath, butt, or body? Like, what in the hell, kid? That is brutal.
Which one's the worst? Did we determine what the smell was?
I think breath smelling like your butt or possible armpit is pretty horrible.
It's pretty bad, man.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show. When you're looking for love,
hey, baby, you want it?
Then all the wrong places.
You want to see what a mistake looks like?
It's the missed connection inspection on Dave and Mahoney.
Mahoney, these are people that are looking for love, and maybe they're doing it in all the wrong places because I don't know how many true love stories have started on Craigslist, but look, these people posted their messages. We're all about love here, so we want to amplify these messages in the off chance that maybe they've got a shot.
Dave, love is such a hard thing, especially fleeting love. These moments, these encounters, they're fleeting, and they just want to reconnect, and that's why many years ago, we put our hands on a stack of old penthouse forum letters and Playboys in our dad's rich basement, and we swore that we were going to help these freaks fly their flag as high as we possibly could and amplify their messages.
This first one is entitled Tibetan Singing Bowls. This is a man for a woman.
I've seen those. Kind of cool.
He said, I gave you a Tibetan singing bowl session. You, girl, with beautiful eyes. You said I put you under. I was so distracted by so many things going on at the time. I could not remember your name, but you said that you work with at-risk youth and you deliver energy healing. You also mentioned that you bought your first bowl set. I just wanted to make friends.
Do you think the Tibetan singing bowl session was a euphemism for anything else? Because you are familiar with that. It's like the singing glasses.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You like have a little.
Is it just when you like finger the rim?
Yeah, and it makes it starts to hum.
That's how it goes normally. Yeah,
accurate.
This one I think may be loaded with euphemism. I'm not sure, Mahoney, but innuendo seems to be abounding. This one is just entitled "Caramel Corn at the Gun Show."
Caramel corn slaps.
It does.
It's sticky, though.
It's sticky.
It does get sticky, but it's worth the risk.
It's totally worth it. You were selling caramel corn at the county gun show, and I couldn't keep my eyes off of that caramel corn. It was amazing, beautiful, the best I've ever had. I need that caramel corn right now. I don't know, again, if that's innuendo or if that's just a dude who really loves caramel corn.
I mean, you can't be touching your gun after you've been eating caramel corn, though. It's sticky. You're going to have to clean it. Just feels impractical.
This is a man for a woman. It's entitled Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
I came out of the men's room and you were standing there and you were waiting on your dad who was still in there. And I said he was okay. He was standing up and he had his walker. Then we talked about your mom and dad and how challenging it can be to take care of your folks sometimes. This was at the Cracker Barrel. I hope to hear back from you. We had a good conversation together and then your dad came out. I just want to make sure you got home safely and please contact me back. My name is Ron.
They were just chatting over by the zebra gum.
All the Laffy Taffy and Dolly Parton cassettes.
The Statler Brothers CD, which slaps, by the way.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your lifetime goal is to own a partial interest in a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
Dog will hunt.
On Dave and Mahoney.
So Mahoney, over the years we've heard many ridiculous stories about people hiding guns in places that you shouldn't be hiding guns.
Well, and it's American ingenuity, Dave. I mean, we do that better than anybody else on the planet.
There was a story a couple of years ago that really got me. It was when there was the two rival biker gangs that got into a shootout at the Twin Peaks in Texas, mm-hmm. if I recall correctly. And one of the guys tried to hide his gun in the back of the toilet in the restroom. And then another guy tried to hide his gun in a hamburger.
I thought it was a chicken sandwich.
Maybe it was a chicken sandwich. I just remember it was a sandwich of some kind. And mm-hmm. it seemed really ridiculous that you would try to, like, you know, lift up, whether it was the burger or the piece of chicken, put your gun underneath and then just, you know, because how could anyone ever spot that?
Well, I mean, a gun in a Popeye's chicken sandwich back in the day, those things were pretty beefy. If you were going to hide your gun in any sandwich, it would be a Popeye's.
See, I would have gone the $6 burger.
I don't even know what that is.
McDonald's is the only way to go when you're hiding guns and burgers. You go with a Big Mac 10.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's a little gun pun.
I don't get that joke.
That's a gun pun.
I don't get it.
Okay. Mac 10s are handguns.
All right. So,
like automatic handguns.
We have a new level of difficulty has been achieved by a gentleman in Mississippi. The cops pulled him over at 12:38 p.m. for a traffic violation. During the traffic stop, the passenger, Devin Mitchell, hid a handgun inside of a folded quesadilla in a Taco Bell bag, which is not a terrible place.
That's not a bad place.
Right. Yeah, you just kind of attach the sides with cheese that's already in there.
Do you go Crunch Wrap Supreme, maybe, instead of a quesadilla?
Nah, quesadilla is better because you have more tortilla.
Hard shell tacos you can't hide.
Yeah, and also
you break and then all the bullets fall out.
Yeah, and also you wouldn't want to ruin a perfectly good cheesy gordita crunch. Mm. Those are the best. Officers carried out a search of the vehicle, found methamphetamine, liquid heroin, and drug paraphernalia, along with the quesadilla wrapped firearm. Liquid
was the heroin. Gun actually? Did they take the time to melt the cheese in the quesadilla?
It didn't say, but I would imagine it was probably pre-melted. You have to get the quesadilla at the exact right time if you really want to fully cover the weapon. It's very important.
Fair.
So, Mahoney, you're a big Disney guy. You enjoy your land-based vacations for many years. We're exclusively at Disney.
Yeah.
There is nothing like a fun-filled day at Disney with your family, getting roaring drunk, insulting children, and having your family abandon you.
Is this a story from a couple months ago from me?
No. No, not on that wine
walk
day.
Did they finally find out?
Edward Stevenson, 30, who is a registered nurse, threatened an Orange County sheriff's deputy after he was arrested following a drunken scene at Disney Springs. He had attracted the attention of law enforcement because he was belligerent and cursing at and in front of children. It took three deputies to place his arms behind his back. He, once secured, continued to tell them how those damn kids better hope that they're never a patient in his emergency room.
What?
Which is a pretty awful thing to say.
Goodness.
But he had gotten so drunk and so belligerent that his family had left him. They're
it's
just
really
like,
hard
all right,
to get drunk
luck,
at
Edward.
Disney. As somebody who has tried.
I have tried
before
as well.
Because... Inside of, if you go to Disneyland, you can go to,
California Adventure.
And there's some places over there, for sure.
Booze, yeah.
But first off, price-wise, I mean, you just got to be rich. I mean, you're paying like
$22
a drink. You're paying MLB prices.
Well, yeah. And they're making it to where you are going to have to like pre-plan each beverage, which, I mean, if you go to a bar, obviously you're just going to wait there and either get like one for each hand and then walk back whenever you need one for each hand again. And they make you like do the little... like the pre-planned stops now. Like you have to go up. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And they also, I think, strategically place the bathrooms in inconvenient places to where you get the drinks. So if you have broken the seal and you have to pee a lot, not that convenient.
I just don't think you know where all the bathrooms are.
I was just going to say that.
A lot of hidden bathrooms
Dave's,
there.
Dave's a Disney noob.
The Tiki Room?
I hate Disney.
Best place if you got to take a slam, that is the place.
So
Tiki Room?
Is it really?
Day.
Thank you for letting us know.
It's air conditioned.
So... I've told you guys that I love the Villages so much. I cannot wait for the day that I'm able to move into the Villages.
You're talking about the Villages down in Florida, America's largest retirement community, a.k.a. It's like spring break all the time for the retired.
So there was a study that was done as to how many golf cart crashes have happened in the Villages.
I love that they had to do a study.
Mm-hmm.
How many?
So there was 43 golf cart crashes in the first quarter of 2023 in just a portion in the Sumter County portion of the Villages.
Okay.
43 in Q1. That seems like a lot because it's pretty difficult at the rate of speed that you're going to crash golf carts into each other.
If you've never crashed a golf cart, you live in a glass house.
There were 358 golf cart crashes in the first quarter of the year in the Villages.
They're just trying out
358.
They're just trying out for the new movie Jackass.
So what is that, 90 days divided by 300 or 300 divided by 90?
It's a lot.
So we're looking at 3.5 golf cart crashes per day?
Per day.
They're doing
something.
I feel
like that's not shocking.
You're just like, that is on brand for the Villages. You see why I want to move there so badly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably have their license taken away.
Can you drive a golf cart without a license in Florida? I'm not sure.
You should be able to. If in my America, you can.
That's right.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Time to play Tipsy.
Drinking through the quad.
Or Toddler.
A Dave and Mahoney.
Come on, everybody.
John is joining us for a round of Tips Here, Toddler. How's it going today, John?
Going great. How are you guys doing?
Good. So have you spent any time around drunk people recently?
Almost exclusively.
Almost exclusively. So how about any toddlers? Any toddlers in your life?
I work in an elementary school, so not quite toddlers, but yeah.
So you get the idea. Yeah. Toddlers and drunk people act very similar. They're constantly knocking things over. They're saying things that don't make a ton of sense. So what we're going to do today is we're going to read some things that were said. You're trying to figure out if it was a tipsy person or a toddler. Simple enough?
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Here we go. The first one. This is two people, so we'll go back and forth here, Audrey.
Okay.
Pull your pants up.
I'm traveling really hard, and it's really hard to get it over my cut. Hold on. Just let me rest for like uno momento.
Good Spanish.
Thank you.
Is that a tipsy person or is that a toddler?
I was going to go toddler all the way up to uno momento. So let's try a drunk person.
A drunk person is correct. Yes. Excellent job sussing that out. Let's have a listen to what they said.
Pull your pants up.
I'm trying really hard and it's really hard to get them over my butt.
Hold on. So I rest for like uno momento.
Good Spanish.
Thank you.
All right, John, you're on the board with one. Here we go on to number two. I don't want to eat my food.
Why?
It's Mexican.
And?
I don't speak Spanish.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
Let's give it to the toddler this time.
That is correct. Yes, John.
All right.
Crushing cool. The game. Here we go. Let's have a listen.
I don't want to eat my food.
Why?
And? I don't speak Spanish.
Ay, ay, ay.
What? That's so cute. All right, here we go. On number three, you're two for two. You're doing great. What are you doing?
I'm doing some work. I told you to not be. You need to be patient.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
Let's go toddler again.
Yeah, hey, man.
Dude, you are killing
crushing it.
What are you doing?
I'm doing some work. I told you not to be. You need to be patient.
All right, John.
Adorable.
Three for three.
Just adorable.
You can win it right here with this one, or you have one more after that if you don't get this one correct. But so far, perfect. On to number four. Walk!
My legs won't move. They won't move! I keep telling it, and it won't move.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler for the win today?
Let's try tipsy on this one.
Dude.
Oh, dude. Four for four. Unbelievable.
Walk.
My legs won't move. They won't move.
Bloody walk.
I keep telling it, and it won't move.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So I saw something this weekend that I had never seen before. And you guys tell me if you're familiar with this. We've all seen like seaplanes before, right? Like the sort of planes like from Indiana Jones that can land on water, right?
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yeah, but I saw...
You don't see them very often.
I saw one this weekend that was one that I'd never seen before. So it had the wings, then they had the body, but the actual body itself is what you would land on. So there's nothing beneath it. It had like little buoy things on either wing in case it tilted too much.
Mm-hmm.
But then it had the propeller that was actually behind the cockpit, which I thought was really interesting. So this thing is kind of like buzzing around the area that we are out on the lake because, you know, anytime we have a chance to go out, we try to take it. And the kids love being out on the boat, all of that stuff. But we see this plane, it's kind of buzzing around, and then it lands on the water. And we're like, oh, so that's how it does it. Because we thought, as low as this thing is flying, that thing better be able to land on the water.
Right.
But it was just pretty interesting because it landed right on the body.
Like near you where you were boating?
We were in this little cove area. And so we'd stopped, and there's a bunch of boats that stop in this little cove because there's some sandy beaches where the kids can get out mm-hmm. and play and splash around and stuff. And so it lands in this little cove. And we think it's like, what a cool thing. Like, if your friends are out for a boat day and then you pull up in your plane, like,
who's
that's
just got a random seaplane, though?
That's what I mean,
like,
man.
Where do you buy a random seaplane?
I've never even seen one of these before, much less in the wild.
Do you also have to have, like, a boating license and a flying pilot's license?
Probably.
A fishing license?
Yeah, do you have to have, like, the little boat
need?
Registration sticker on the side because it turns into a boat? Very confusing. But so the guys are like hanging out with their friends, and then like some of the boats start to leave. And so you can tell that this plane is going to take off. And it's, you know, doing the process where they go out and they kind of like zip around the area where they're going to use as their runway. But it's fairly important that, you know, if they're doing the takeoff, that they know that area is going to be cleared. And I thought it was really interesting because they had two friends that were out there on jet skis that were kind of acting as the ones that were establishing what the perimeter was going to be for this plane.
Almost
to take
like
off.
A wide load, like the cars
kind of, yeah,
that
exactly.
go in front of and behind of, you know, like if you're on the highway with a tractor trailer,
But that seems crazy to me that, you know, obviously they do this all the time. But if you think about, like, how flat runways are and, you know, how important takeoff is, but you're on a, you know, a constantly shifting runway that is the lake.
I'm sure you have to be a pretty good pilot, and that actually kind of lends into this next thing that happened. Is so we're out there on the lake, and this thing takes off, and I'm sitting there filming it because it's pretty cool. It's something I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes off and kind of buzzes around this corner, and then it whips around, and it comes back around the corner into the cove, and it's flying low. I'm talking like I could throw a baseball and hit it low. And so,
could
I mean,
you?
It's
you think?
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, maybe back in the day when the arm was a little better.
Like,
find
okay.
Find a slingshot.
Dave
I can hit
fancies
it.
Himself an athlete.
I am not. But it's flying low, and everyone's kind of amazed how low this thing is flying. It's kind of hot dogging a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this plane turns directly towards us and is coming right at our boat. And I've got the audio. If you'd like to hear it.
Of
how my wife reacted whenever this plane was flying directly towards our boat with
Please.
Our four kids on it. So, again, there's a lot of noise from the plane. Have a listen. So it buzzed right over
she
us.
She went full
away.
Government on she, you. She David, went David.
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 Like, what am I supposed to do? So catch
really
it and throw it out of the way? Like,
she was just panicking. Just needed you to be her strength in that moment. Yeah.
I saw this video, but I didn't know that it was just like some bros flying a seaplane.
And that's what my wife said after the fact. She's like, I don't know if those people are hammered or what, but like they're sitting here hot dogging in this thing coming right towards us.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY
and leave a...
Leave a message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Dave, Mahoney, Audrey. I just thought about this running on like 3 hours of sleep. But arcades transition from tokens to cards, and I'm wondering what y'all think is going to be the next thing. Love the show. Goodbye.
Message deleted.
I don't actually hate the tokens to cards thing. I mean, back in the day at the arcade, it felt like a boss move when you had the entire pocket full of quarters.
Dude, if you put a $5 bill in, you were balling.
If you put a 20 in.
I had a friend. What kind of rich?
It wasn't me.
Rich parent gives their kid a 20 at the arcade.
It was my friend Ben. His dad owned a fine gentleman's clothing line.
At the gentleman's club.
Me too.
No, it was like a men's dress shirt store at the at the mall. But his dad would always be there, and he would always be there as a result. But whenever we would go to the arcade together, he'd have a crisp 20. He put in that thing and just clank 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 clank. It's just unbelievable.
I feel like the progression will be Apple Pay, Apple Tap, like your phone tap. Just like use the little boop boop, and then maybe get your tickets after if you end up winning. They're never going to get rid of the tickets.
A biometric scan, probably, where, you know, that's where everything's moving anyway.
Thumbprint.
Do you get nostalgic about, like, the old school video games? Because there's, like, a bunch of those places that have popped up where, you know, you can go play the old stand-up Street Fighter 2 video game. I just don't really like them that much. It's fun for, like, one game, and then I'm like, this technology sucks.
Because it's not designed for you, Dave.
Is that what it is?
Well,
who's it designed for? I was the guy that played those.
Kids? No. Like, you age out of it. You're not, like, sitting there. Are you clamoring to go to Dave & Buster's?
I love Dave & Buster's.
They're not clamoring for Street Fighter II Champion Edition or Joust or
That's what I mean.
Asteroids.
Are kids into... Well, I guess they do have the giant... Have you seen the giant Asteroids one they have at Dave & Buster's?
I have not.
Where, like, yeah, there's, like, two seats that you actually sit in and you sit there and just bash the buttons. But
yeah.
I actually like Dave & Buster's.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Especially... Now that there is booze
they
involved.
Sell beer, and that makes it more fun.
It does. Gaming while drinking is elite.
I don't think that I'm ever going to outgrow, like, let's have a beer and play air hockey.
Oh, or foosball.
No.
Foosball.
Guys, you know the best drinking, like, in-person game is shuffleboard.
Oh.
Not the cruise ship shuffleboard, the bar with the salt covered shuffleboard.
Right
that is
too much
top tier.
As far as Dave and Buster's, I think skee ball is the best drinking.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
How do you all feel about hobbies? You know, do you think everyone needs one or are they just good to have when you have the time?
Message deleted.
So I don't really have a lot of hobbies. Like, people have asked me that before, like, what's your hobby? I'm like, mostly just work and then try to keep all of my kids alive. Is that a hobby?
I mean, that's pretty close to a lobby.
A Hobby Lobby?
A Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby is a good place to start if you're looking for hobbies. But Dave, I feel like as your kids start developing their own interests, those will become your hobbies. Like taking your daughter, who is really into cheerleading, into the competitive
side. Following her around the country.
Yes.
I've got some friends that are like the cheerleading mom or dad, and like that ish is expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Especially because there's no upside. Like, you can't make any money being a cheerleader.
Well, not a professional cheerleader, which I found out how much they make.
It's criminal.
It's like $40,000 a year.
Not even.
If.
I not think 35.
I think now, I mean, back in the day, it was like $50 a game sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that was for like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
And you can't even date a player. That's the whole point.
That's the whole point. Like, come
what
on,
do you mean
man.
You can't even date an athlete?
As if there's some sort of, ethics thing here that we can't cross this magical line, great looking people at the pinnacle of their physical fitness. We can't have this because it will sully the reputation of the game.
You're like, if I'm a professional cheerleader, the reason I signed up for this is to get sexually harassed by Brett Favre, okay?
No, that was a broadcaster, Dave. Who,
was it a broadcaster?
Yeah, was that it was? Yeah. He was unceremoniously sending unsolicited photos of stuff that he...
Fairly unimpressive stuff, as it turns out.
Yeah, what are you doing, Brett?
Yeah, come on, man.
You ever just hit the play button on your console in the studio and take a nap while the music's playing?
Message deleted.
No, not me, but Mahoney has done that before.
So now everything's pretty much, we push a button, play it, we have a database. The technology has come so far from when we started in radio, I mean, we got friends who started on reel-to-reel, who were playing LPs, who were playing records, doing that, and there was literally no, like, you can let this just run. That's how...
You had 3 minutes.
You had 3 minutes at most. But there was a time when I was hosting a show in the late night hours, and we were playing it off of CDs, and it was like 30 minutes on one side, then you'd play the commercials, and then 30 minutes on the other side. And I, back then was working probably 60, 70, 80 hours.
A lot of hours.
A week. Getting paid for 23 hours a week. But that's part of what the charm of radio was. And I remember it was like 2 or 3 a.m. and everybody hated this show that we were playing late at night. So I was just like, I didn't want to answer the phones. I put the CD in, set an alarm on my my flip phone to wake me up in 25.
Your flip phone had alarms?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember those.
Oh, they did. And so I set an alarm for 25 minutes from now, and then I would wake up, play the commercials, play the next CD, and I'd be good to go.
And your flip phone betrayed you.
But you fell.
And I fell asleep, and we were off the air, I think, for 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
Or so, and the phones are just blown up.
Seven people noticed, and that was it.
No. I mean, luckily, I was like, my career in radio is over.
Yeah,
like, this is it. This is like the moment I messed up. You're not supposed to do this. And, wake up, end up playing the commercials, throwing in the CD, and literally nobody ever said a word about it. Ever. Thank God.
See, I just got so hungover one time that I took a little siesta, but I had a puke bucket right beside me as well.
What is wrong with you guys, man?
Sorry, we can't be as buttoned up as you.
We were going hard in the paint, Dave.
Oh, yeah. With the puke bucket?
No, I mean, my thing, I wasn't even drunk. That was just, I was exhausted because I'd basically lived at the radio station at that point in my life.
How are you going to judge us? Like, we were making $7 an hour. Of course I'm showing up hungover.
Oh, I wasn't even making $7 at that point. I think I was making...
Mahoney took a drunk nap at the studio like 2 weeks ago.
No, he didn't.
I was on air, though.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Dave and Mahoney present, Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout?
Probably not.
Lori is joining us for a round of Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout? How are you this morning, Lori?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for joining us. Tell us about your level of education. How far did you get in school?
Well, I graduated from high school.
Okay.
And I was a straight B student.
Excellent. So
much better than me, Lori.
Yeah, you'll do just fine in this game. So you and Mahoney are going to be asked the same questions today. The way that it works is that you do have one pass. You can use it whenever you want. I would just encourage you to use it sooner rather than later so it doesn't go to waste. If you're not familiar with Mahoney's education, He famously dropped out of not one, not two, but three different community colleges.
I like to call it the trifecta, Dave.
That's right.
And recently, thinking about expanding my horizons and maybe making it four.
All right, so Mahoney is going to leave the studio. He is going to go to a soundproof space across the hallway. And Lori, again, use the pass sooner rather than later if you feel like you need it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, studio door is closed. Here we go. Question number one. What dinosaur's name translates to three-horned face?
Oh, no. I think I better pass.
Okay. Good pass on that one. If you think about it, it may actually is. It kind of makes sense. It's the Triceratops because it has three horns on its face.
Wow. That's tough. That's a hard question out the gate, Dave.
Yeah. So
that is a hard question.
I'm on Lori's side here.
Okay. So let's go through the next five. No more passes. Here we go. Who became the world's first billionaire in 1916?
Oh, my goodness. How about Rockefeller?
That is correct, Lori. Yes. Excellent. On the board with one. Here we go. On to question number three. What is the process in which plants get energy from the sun?
Photosynthesis.
Boom. There you go. Excellent.
She's heating up.
Two for two after the pass. Here we go. On to question number four. How many ribs does the human body have?
Oh, no. Okay, I'm going to just guess. I'll see. 92?
No, way off.
Don't worry, I didn't mean to laugh at you, girl, but 92 ribs.
92, no. What are you, a bass? Like, what are you talking about? No, it's 20. 24 is the correct answer there.
Oh, boy. Sorry. Oh, so cute.
Okay, question number five. In which year was JFK assassinated?
Okay, it was 1960-something. Don't tell me.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to say like 1961? Yeah, it was 1963. It's either 1963.
Yeah, 1963. There you go. You got it. Okay.
Okay. All right. Got it.
I'm so excited that you're this excited. All right, so you got three correct. Here we go on to the final question. What was the first planet discovered with the aid of a telescope?
Oh, no.
I'll give you a hint. It is easily the funniest planet name.
Oh, okay. How about Uranus?
That is correct, Lori. All right. So that is four out of the five correct. That is excellent. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll see how Mahoney does, okay?
Okay, good.
Okay, man.
I love her excitement level.
I do, too.
I just love her.
I'm rooting for her.
If she's looking for a child, I can be it.
You want to be adopted by Lori?
She just made me feel so comfortable.
She did. All right. So, Mahoney, everyone's rooting against you because Lori was a true delight.
I mean, I don't think we've ever had a caller who sounds as lovely as Lori has.
Doesn't she sound?
I mean,
sense.
Really.
Yeah.
Her voice is a hug.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Okay, here we go, Mahoney. Same questions. Here we go. Okay. Question number one, what dinosaur's name translates to three-horned face?
Triceratops.
A triceratops, unfortunately, is correct. Question number two.
I'm rooting against you right now. We're on the same team, but I love Lori so much. I hate that you got that right.
Who became the world's first billionaire in 1916?
Ooh. So I think it's either J.P. Morgan, or Carnegie, or is it a Rockefeller? I'm going to go Rockefeller.
Dang it. Yeah.
Stop.
It's John D. Rockefeller.
Getting them right.
You still have your pass. Okay, here we go. What is a process in which plants get energy from the sun?
Osmosis.
No.
Yes.
Photosynthesis.
Oh, whatever. Same difference. All right.
You idiot. How many ribs does the human body have?
Are we talking pre-Bible or post-Bible?
Post-Bible.
Post.
Post-Bible, pre-Marilyn Manson.
Gotcha. I'm going to pass.
Okay.
14?
No, it's 24, but your guess was a lot closer than Lori's 92. So,
I mean,
yeah, it's all right.
If you think about, like, ribs like you would get on a, you know, like you order at a barbecue joint.
Yeah,
you know, I can see how we had 92.
Could you?
Maybe.
Could you?
All right, two more questions to go. You got two correct. In which year was JFK assassinated?
Okay, let me just do some math here.
Okay.
Do some math?
Yeah, because
when he was elected, is that what you're doing? Yeah.
I believe it was 1958.
A little off.
63.
Oh,
okay.
All right. I want to bring Lori back in here. We got one final question, Mahoney. You've got two correct so far. What was the first planet discovered with the aid of a telescope?
It's got to be Mars.
It is not Mars.
Did
Lori just dunk on you and go,
yes,
no.
Did.
Lori, you win. Congratulations. It's Uranus.
No, it wasn't.
It's Uranus because, of course, it's Uranus.
Uranus before Mars.
Hey, you got a big old booty, Mahoney.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
For those of you that don't know a lot about Mahoney just yet, he is a huge foodie. And Audrey, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when somebody gives him a food recommendation, if it's not good, he'll hold it against that person forever.
Well, we've been getting a lot of recommendations recently. The other day, Mahoney and I were actually sitting in one of the studios and got like 10 or 15 recommendations from one of the sales guys.
And this is exactly where that comes from, Audrey. You know, I love Mexican food. I'm looking for recommendations. The sales guy, he suggested a few places. And one of them that he suggested, I decided to go check out with my wife.
So this was a Mexican food establishment that you went to. And my experience, and you guys can tell me if yours differs, but with Mexican food, it's either great or terrible. There's not a lot of in between.
If it's in between, it's traditionally like a boring, massive national-wide chain. And even then, it's either, it might be all right.
It's like Americanized.
Yeah, it could be fine. So this is, you know, authentic, local, spicy. I'm like, it's everything that I'm looking for in a place. And he's, as you were there with me, so you know.
Is this a spicy place?
It was sold pretty hard.
Yes.
This was sold real hard. And I'm like, I've been excited. I knew that, like, I'm like, all right, this is where my big weekend, outing is going to be.
Mahoney also gets ridiculously excited about food. Like, your whole day will kind of center around whatever meal you're going to have that you're most excited about.
I don't have any vices in my life other than food.
Yeah, you've gotten rid of the drinking and a lot of the gambling and, you know, just a bunch of that stuff.
I can give that stuff up easy. Yeah. All like the drinking, the smoking, any of that stuff is nothing to me. Food, on the other hand, is my Achilles heel or Achilles gut, as you might say.
Achilles Billy.
But so I go there. Staff is great. This place is packed. Tons of people. And
which one was it that you went to?
I'm not going to say just because they're
really
nice people.
And oh, no. Oh, was this not a good experience?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
And it was trash. Like, they brought out the wrong entree. The second time they brought out the right entree.
You sent it back?
It tasted like there was cleaning product
in
the chili relleno. And again, you know that this place it's packed, so it's got to be pretty good by and large because it's a Saturday night. There's not a table open.
You think
this
just had
is
some
wild
bad luck?
I think he had some bad luck because not only did one person from the sales team come in and tell us about this, but one of our production managers came in as well and was just like co-signing on how great this place was. So this just had to have been bad experience.
I don't know if I can trust our sales guy for food recommendations ever again because this was, I mean, I got burned.
After the show today, you should fight him.
I mean, do you think HR will allow us to fist fight over this?
It depends how badly you beat his ass. But, I mean, honestly.
I mean, he's going to kick my ass. But, I mean, I would like to
take a few swings first. Yeah.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
And leave a
message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So I got to say, I love the tipsy versus toddler game. But what I think would be a great added twist is if you did Dave's toddlers as the toddler and Mahoney and Audrey as the tipsy and see if you can guess which one of Dave's kids said it or if it was Mahoney or Audrey who said it for bonus points. Just an idea.
Message deleted.
So all we have to do in order to do that is I have to record my children constantly. Fine with that. And then we have to get Mahoney and Audrey loaded.
So we have, Audrey and I have a policy that there is no recording when we are drunk.
It's probably,
or really ever.
Yeah.
Stop filming me.
What goes out over the radio, that's what we can record.
But honestly, though, Mahoney and I have really slowed down.
Yeah.
Like, really slowed down. I feel like I'm on my sober curious train where I really, in the last year, almost to the day, have stopped really drinking booze.
See,
I have not.
So it would have to just really be you
just
versus
me.
Your kids.
I could just record my kids and then myself when I'm hammered. Easy. I can handle the whole bit, guys.
Yeah,
I just
keep a recorder on you at all times.
Just keep doing what you do, Dave. You're just really holding down the show over
That's
there.
That's right.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Why do people think Girl Scout cookies are good? I totally understand wanting to support them financially, but I find all of their cookies to be absolutely terrible.
You stop listening to the show right now.
No, yeah.
We've never done this before. Like, you are fired as a listener. Yeah, get out.
We need all the listeners we can, but at this moment in time, you are. We are
banished.
Yes.
I'm going to come to your house and break your radio.
If we had a trebuchet, we would put you in that and launch you over the wall.
No. You guys both just started screaming nonsense. Like, literally, it's just because they're cute little girls.
Dude, that, the
like,
Thin Mints?
The Thin Mints?
Oh, yeah.
The peanut butter ones?
In the freezer?
They're just fine.
What are the coconut ones called? The chocolate and coconut ones?
Samoas?
Yeah, I guess that's what they're called.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's going towards the development of you know, young kids on their way up.
Learning entrepreneurship.
Yeah, like that also makes them more delicious, right? Because it's for the kids.
Dude, if you are a kid and you roll by my house and you're selling something for school or your team or whatever, how could you say no?
I know, but
I can say no.
I got bamboozled by some kids one time. They told me that they came dressed in their little football uniforms, and they sold me a bunch of candles that I didn't need. And the candles never came. And one day I saw them walking by. I'm like, hey, guys, did those candles ever show up? And they took off running because they knew that they had hustled me.
Dang, Dave, you got
I got got.
Yeah, I think if I were going to choose between, because I'm a former Girl Scout and my brother is an Eagle Scout. So, and I have like I really do have a thing like where I just feel like I need to support like kids like you, Dave, whenever you're saying that people who are coming up. But the girls, man, like I feel like they've got it under wraps. Like the Girl Scouts don't need help. Like whenever I see a Boy Scout selling popcorn, I'm always going to buy the popcorn. The Girl Scouts cookies, they are cold-blooded. They have their own app.
Yeah, because they're entrepreneurs. Because they know what they're doing.
It's their parents. The girls don't even sell them.
Oh, every time I've ever bought cookies, I buy like three cases.
Do you know why that is? Because they know that you're a mark. So the Girl Scouts they'll come by the radio station every year when they're first starting to sell the cookies. And it's partially like a promotional thing, but they know that anytime that they stop by the studio, that Mahoney is going to buy multiple cases.
And doesn't even eat them. That just goes to show that you don't even really enjoy the cookies because you never even eat them.
Oh, I always eat all the Thin Mints. They're always gone. Always you ever see any leftover Thin Mints?
You sure don't.
That's true.
Please leave them.
Frozen? You put them in a freezer?
Ooh,
frozen
fresh out of the
Thin
freezer.
Mints?
Okay, settle down.
They're
just really not that great. There's 1,000 better
Thin Mint.
You know what's not that great? You.
Okay, well, that's a lie.
We will sell you for 3 boxes of frozen Thin Mints.
Absolutely.
You're out.
Can I stay on the payroll?
Yeah, sure.
Would you rather have a head the size of a tennis ball or the size of a watermelon? You'd still be the same level of intelligence, just with a really small or really massive head.
Dude, you can't have a small head.
Yeah,
you cannot have a small head.
And also, I think that our heads are about the size of a watermelon.
A watermelon head over there.
I mean, those smaller watermelons that you see that are kind of like a mini basketball.
Yeah, it's like the size of a volleyball. It's a good size head.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever given you a really rude compliment on like your head size or shape? Because, you know, there's always that one person who's been called, like, a pea head before, and I feel like that's just so mean. Has anybody ever said anything about the size of your head?
Well, not necessarily.
You mean a peanut head?
Not just the size of my head necessarily, but kind of like the whole texture of my being. Somebody told me that I looked like Frankenstein once, and it kind of stuck with me.
I mean, you got a square jaw.
You see how hard she laughed?
And a thick neck, so that's good.
That hurts.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Mahoney, if I were to ask you a question, would you be honest with me?
Depends on what the question is, Dave. Okay.
So in the relationship between my wife and I, who do you think is more likely to shoplift, me or my wife?
I think you.
Your wife.
My wife?
Yeah.
I think you would be more intentionally over the years inclined to shoplift, and your wife probably unintentionally because she's watching your 4 children
doing
all sorts of things. And, you know, sometimes you just get scatterbrained when you've got, you know, four kids under 7 running around with you.
Yeah. I also think that maybe she would encourage the children to put things in their pockets.
Fill up your pockets, kids, and run. Fill it with smokes.
And then blame it on your children on the way out. Like, oops.
No, so what happened over the weekend is my wife got accused of shoplifting at a Walmart. And
what?
Walmart has like casino-level security, if you're not familiar. It's kind of wild, but like almost all the Walmarts, at least the ones that we go to, are almost exclusively self-checkout. And they have the huge areas where you go to do the self-checkout. So my wife was buying just some essentials, some groceries and stuff, and she'd gotten some eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And she had scanned the eggs, and then she held the carton up and was looking at it. And it turns out that a couple of the eggs were broken. And so this is where the moral dilemma comes in. She's looking at it with the two broken eggs, and she decides that she's going to keep his carton of eggs with the two broken eggs. Whereas me, I'd probably be like, I'm putting those back. I'm going
to
swap those.
You're going to walk all the way back once you've made it to the checkout?
Not when you've got four kids.
I understand why she didn't. Again, she didn't have all four kids, but she had a couple kids with her. Anyway, so she's looking at the eggs, and then she'd already scanned them and stuff. She's looking at the eggs, kind of inspecting it. She goes, that kind of stinks, and puts them into the bag. At that point, some lady who works there comes over, and she goes, ma'am, did you pay for those eggs? And she goes, yeah, I just scanned them. And I didn't know that this was a thing, but again, to the point of Walmart having crazy security, the woman scans a receipt and it rolls back the video right then and there of my wife at the cash register self-checking out.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that could.
I didn't know that was a thing either. It's like instant replay. Like you're watching a football game. Just like, all right, let's watch.
Pat Summerall and John Madden calling it?
So she rolls the video back, and then sure enough, it shows my wife scanning it. I guess she had just looked over and seen my wife when she was inspecting it and then putting it in the bag. And she didn't.
Did your wife immediately dunk on her?
Yeah, man.
I would spike those eggs, do a touchdown dance, be like,
do the icky wood shuffle.
Yeah, something.
There are just people who take their job way too seriously. Like, no knock to like the security officers of any establishment ever or to Walmart employees because y'all got really good benefits. But I feel like in this instance, this is a person who is just like power hungry. Like, even if you wanted to take a couple of eggs, you're Walmart, okay? Like, you are a massive corporation. That has nothing to do or directly affect you.
Well, it doesn't, even if you didn't, you could be, it's the way you approach a situation and how you talk to somebody directly has an effect, because there's a way to approach somebody and say, hey, you might have missed that, you know, and you can go. Yeah. There are proper ways
to talk.
There's certainly a tone which you know when you're being accused.
Yes. Yeah, so she came at her with that like accusatory tone and then thought she had the gotcha with the replay.
Because she wouldn't have done that had she not thought she was. Yes.
And I'm with you. Like, my wife, of course, was nice about it. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was just looking at the eggs and there's a couple that were broken. And she's,
you know what I
would have
done?
Way.
I would have been like, actually, you know what's funny is that I was hoping that you'd be able to help me on my way out. Can you go all the way back to the egg aisle?
Give me some new eggs.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Blitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm Dave and Mahoney.
You know, my kids keep hounding me to take them to the Mario movie, and I'm not mad at it because I love the idea that they're really into something that I was also really into when I was a kid with Mario Kart. We haven't had a chance to do it yet, but I think maybe this weekend, and it's crushing again at the box office. $87 million. The second movie was The Pope's Exorcist. That's the Russell Crowe one. That one came in with $9 million.
So really funny, I don't know if you've seen the Jack Black song about Princess Peach. Peaches, 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 peaches. That's like the only song, like the only lyric in the song. But the reason why I bring it up is because the chords are the same exact as Rick Astley.
Oh,
so
really?
He's essentially Rickrolling us without us even knowing.
Jack Black is such a national treasure.
You guys haven't heard this yet?
No, I haven't
yet.
Oh, my gosh. It's all over the internet. Log on.
But the fact that it's gone over $300 million in just a couple of weeks.
$347 million. Almost $350, Unbelievable.
I mean, I think this is probably going to be the start of a Nintendo cinematic universe. Give us some Legend of Zelda. Yeah. Give us Metroid. I mean, Donkey Kong.
Yes, they said that there's going to be a lot of Easter eggs for people who grew up playing just a lot of these games in general. So, Dave, whenever you go, Mahoney, I don't know if you're going to go and see it. I know that we had our feelings about Chris not really having his actual Mario affect in there, but... Yeah, there's a lot of Easter eggs to be hunting for.
You've got your kids hooked on Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you've got the Switch or whatever it is.
Yeah, Switch.
Have you thought about introducing them to Super Smash Bros? That's the Nintendo fighting game.
Maybe let's wait, you know, because they're already violent enough with each other.
Nah, I would just, you could just beat the heck out of them
just
while playing
into it. Yeah.
It's actually kind of hard, I feel like, for the younger kids, because with Kart, it's one button. With Smash Bros, it's multiple.
Got to learn sometime.
That's fair.
Speaking of this turning into like a Nintendo cinematic universe, I mean, that seems to be like kind of the thing now that you do.
Sure.
One person that's not that comfortable with the idea of an expansion of their cinematic universe is Elijah Woods when it comes to Lord of the Rings. Obviously, you know, he played the lead character, and he said that he has some concerns about this new series that they're planning and, you know, continuing to roll out more Lord of the Rings. He thinks it could water it all down.
Yes.
I don't know if I agree with that. I actually thought that the Amazon series that they produced, it started off a little slow, but it finished strong for me. And I thought the production value for like a series that you would see on, you know, a streaming service
was done really well.
The production value is really good, but there's very few shows that the wife and I will start and we'll get like 6 or 7 episodes in and then fall off.
It brings it back. Does it? Episode 8 brings it all back and sets up season number 2. We're talking about Rings of Power. I don't know. It just feels like, you know, obviously the original trilogy that was done by Peter Jackson holds such a special place in so many people's hearts.
Well, I mean, was it 17 Oscars that they won? And it's
something obscene, you know, that they did. But I
feel like if we're going to talk about anything watering down the franchise, it would have been the Hobbit series. The Hobbit trilogy, it was not, I mean, it made it cheap. It's not going to be the Amazon new
Nobody
new
rewatches those.
Series.
Everybody rewatches
the original trilogy.
And so, I can watch them in the extended director's cut, too.
Can we just take a second and all agree that royal coronations are like the weirdest thing ever? I mean, first off, the fact that there's, you know, a royal family in 2023 is just ridiculous. It's they don't really serve a purpose, right? But the fact that King Charles is having his royal coronation and they're going to have a concert and it's Lionel Richie.
Hell yeah.
Andrea Bocelli,
okay,
and Katy Perry. Like,
that's a weird.
What are we doing?
That's a weird. That's a weird cross section of artists. No Oasis. We're not gonna
see Oasis and even Bocelli and I mean, like, there's plenty.
Paul McCartney. We're not getting any of those.
There's good plenty of good British artists,
sure.
Right? But instead, you end up with Katy Perry performing for King Charles.
I like Katy Perry.
Katy Perry is the furthest thing from King Charles that I can imagine.
That he's trying to get with the youths.
Is that what it is? Stop it.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney. Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
And leave a...
leave a message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Not only do you keep me entertained, but you're my kind of people. Like, I went to my nail appointment the other day, and I told my nail girl that I take a nap every day, and the gasp she got was ridiculous. She's like, you do not. That is not normal. But then, you know, I listened to you guys, and you are master nappers, just like me, and you just get me, and I get you, and I just appreciate that. So, thanks. Love you. Bye.
Message
to
deleted.
Be fair, some of the hardest working individuals in the entire world is going to be your nail tech. They never take a day off. They work from sunup to sundown. And literally, I don't even know. I think they have to force like one day where they close the entire nail salon. And then that's the day
that
they get off.
The work ethic of somebody who works in a nail salon is second to none.
It's crazy. So you tell them that you nap, it's kind of rude.
But there is something to be said about being a master napper. And Mahoney, we've heard about a lot of people in the radio business that over the years, after they have had a bunch of success, they get to kind of start calling the shots. Mm-hmm. And one thing that always stood out to me was the Howard Stern limousine elevator. So he didn't want to see anyone while he was, you know, taking the elevator up to his floor.
It was also cold in New York in the winter. So
but he would drive down into the parking garage, and then there was a special elevator that fit his whole limousine that it would just drive into and take him up to his floor. That's not the most impressive thing. The most impressive thing is that Howard Stern had a napping room. Like, after his show, he would just walk down the hallway, and there was a room that was just for his napping, and under no circumstances could anyone bother him. And I'm like, that is a dream come true.
We need a napping room and our own private bathroom. That's like, it doesn't matter what you do in radio, until you have your own private bathroom,
you haven't made it.
You are not, you are not one of the chosen ones.
Could you ever really see yourself napping, though? At work?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Really?
Absolutely.
David. I mean,
way easier to nap at work than at home with the kids.
Because here's the thing.
I would be so embarrassed.
We've you done would? Like
yeah, absolutely.
Certain days when we're like running a best of show or something like that near like Christmas time when for whatever reason our vacation doesn't sync up and I'm in the studio and it's by myself. You know, you put on the best of
prime
program
time,
and then I go to our office and I've got a recliner in there. I'm going to take a little nap.
Technically, you're at work, so you don't have to take a vacation day.
Don't have to take a vacation
and you're
day.
Napping. That's a win-win.
Please leave a message after the show.
Also, that being said, my wife, I feel like there's very few times in my life that I feel like the adult in our relationship, but over the weekend, I made my wife, like, I forced her to take a nap.
You did?
You did?
Because I'm like, you know, we've been busy, you know, over the weekend, traveling, doing all those things, running around town. On Sunday, I'm just like, it's 11 a.m., which is, I feel like,
took an 11 a.m. nap?
Yeah.
Okay,
we woke up. We woke up at 6:30 in the morning.
Time.
We had walked already, ate breakfast, and I'm like,
what was her review of the nap?
She's like, I'm not tired.
And then I'm like, well, just come lay down and let's see what happens.
Oh, that's such a love language moment.
And then
normally that's like, let's get it on. You're like, no, 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 actually don't touch me. Like, let's sleep.
And then we napped for about 90 minutes and woke up, felt great. And she thanked me afterwards.
She did.
Aww. She did. She was like, I didn't know I needed it.
You showed her the light.
Like, yep.
I thought that you were going to say earlier, though, that you try and hide your naps from your wife. But in this moment,
during the work
week,
I do because, you know, when it's the middle of the day and she's dealing with a billion kids at her school and I'm just sleeping.
Because she's working and you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why you gotta
I don't necessarily tell her I'm taking
a nap. Do you, whenever you get up, because this is what I do, do you get up and pretend like you've just been so productive during the day?
I've been so busy. so busy.
What happened to make someone you know get fired on the spot at their job?
Message deleted.
Napping.
It's in my contract.
You're
specifically
allowed to nap.
I specifically got that carve out so that we were able to drink and sleep on the job. The only time I've ever seen somebody get fired on the spot was when I was waiting tables and there was this dude, his name was Silas, and he was scamming credit card numbers.
Ooh. Oh, really?
And so not only did he get fired on the
spot.
Did he
get arrested on the spot,
too?
The
police
too? Yeah, the cops
rolled
there.
In there yeah. and pulled him out. Mid shift,
that
like
is...
he had a table.
Silas,
please leave a message after the tone.
Name a bigger move than fighting a person naked. If you're the only one naked in a fight, you immediately have a leg up.
Message deleted. Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't especially... put your leg up if you're naked in a fight.
Dave and Mahoney,
you're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
There is a certain person, so vile, so arrogant, a middle ground between horrible and useless, a culinary and retail nightmare, a person who we call Karen.
Karen, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Why?
These are the Karen Chronicles.
Why did you do that, Karen?
We've all encountered that person out in the wild that thinks everything revolves around them. And if everything's not perfect, they demand to speak with the manager immediately. It's amazing, though, what some of these Karens and Darrens will decide to complain about, Mahoney.
Dave, we are living in the world of the Karens and the Darrens now, where information travels freely and fast. And they plan to share even the smallest inconvenience with us via Yelp and Google reviews, no matter what, Dave.
This is somebody complaining about the fire department.
Who complains about the fire department?
Who complains about the fire department?
The people who
Karen
run into
does.
The buildings that are on fire
That's
and save
the one.
You.
That's
You're complaining
the
about yep. those people. Okay.
Yeah, this is for the Boston Fire Department engine 18 ladder 6. It's got 4.9 out of
Dude,
5
they're calling
stars.
Them out by engine and ladder?
Yep. Dang. So 4.9 out of 5 stars. Only 46 reviews, so I imagine they would have been a perfect 5 if not for this Karen.
Okay.
But AD said 5 out of 5. Amazing place, great vehicles. Tobias okay. K, 5 out of 5. Very good station. Nice personnel. The siren has a pleasant volume. Please keep it up. You are real heroes.
Isn't that nice? I can't argue with that. What yeah. did Karen have to say?
Well, Karen said 1 out of 5 stars. I kind of appreciate the service, but let's be real. They don't really do much if nothing is happening, these firefighters. But one thing they do is not recognize who lives in the neighborhood where their loud fire trucks are. They are so inconsiderate of the children and the elderly and the other people in general. We ask that you please try to consider not working with the sirens at such a high noise. We can work with the lights or a single sound. We do not need the blaring siren so the whole darn neighborhood can hear it and get startled. You know damn well you can save lives without all the racket.
I really hope your house never burns down, Karen.
I hope it does.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
Because your home phone, cell phone, email, Facebook, Twitter, and home screen all at the same time.
They're everywhere.